with you again. Excuse me. If you care to read along with me, I'm just going to read two verses in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. As we consider the subject of the Gospel together, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 2. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Lord will bless the public reading of his precious word. Last summer we were privileged to have gospel tent meetings in an area about 45 minutes from where we live. We live in a little town called St. Stephen, now New Brunswick in Canada. And there were a series of villages along the coast of fishing villages. And one of them, the little towns there, is called Come By Chance. Kind of a strange name. But on one of the doors of the homes where I visited, there was a sign up there. It was a little play on words for those who knocked on the door or came to visit. And it said, just by chance, as though they had arrived there just by chance. And it made me think about heaven. Nobody will be in heaven just by chance. There'll be nobody surprised to be in heaven. Most have the idea that at the end of one's life, God is going to weigh up the life. I came to believe that growing up, and it's very, very prevalent thinking that God will look at the good in the life and the bad in the life and weigh them up. And if the good, as they say, outweighs the bad, then you can come into heaven. But the scripture doesn't teach any such thing. And our destiny, heaven or hell, is something that we decide. This was a new revelation to me. I was 30 years old before I had this revealed to me. I was of the opinion God decides. I remember when my father was dying of cancer, and he wasn't saved at the time. And I asked him, don't you want to know what God says? And he said, no, I'll wait, and I'll find out after. And that's too late. If you wait until after, it's too late. And I'm very grateful that through the sickness that my father had, God got his attention and he listened and came to realize that it's not just by chance I ended up in heaven. It's by choice. And we decide where I'm going after I die by what I do with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We determine our own destiny. Now, we read two verses, very profound verses. The Lord Jesus Christ always brought these great spiritual truths, things difficult for us to understand. He brought them down to a level that we could understand. Because it's so important, isn't it, as to where I'm going to spend eternity. And he began by saying, Truly, I say unto you, except ye be converted. What he's saying is that I have to come to God on God's terms. He said, except ye shall not enter. And in order to find acceptance with God, I must come to God on his terms. I can't come to him and negotiate. In school, for instance, there's a pass mark. I don't know what it might be. Now, I can remember when our oldest daughter, Amy, was in school, the pass mark was 60%. And if you got 60% correct on your exam or test, then you passed. And that was easy to understand. The teacher would say, except you make 60% on this exam, then you'll fail the exam. Well, she got a 58%. And she came home, and she was upset about it, this whole thing, because she had come so close. But then she understood. The teacher had said 60%. Except 60%, you fail. And the Lord Jesus Christ spoke very plainly. And here he says, except, so we can understand this. Except ye be converted, ye shall not enter. And I must come to God on his terms. Nobody can negotiate with God. Sometimes in the sports world, they have a breakdown between management and the players, and they'll come to the table and they'll negotiate and a give and take back and forth, and they'll kind of come to terms. But that's not the case with God. We have to understand. God says, these are my terms. Except a man be born again. That's very plain. So that's a challenging question for my heart. Have I been born again? Except a man be born again, born from above, he or she cannot even see heaven. Except I'm born again. Except ye repent. Twice he said that in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. Except ye repent. Turn from going my own way in life. He said, except ye repent, you can't enter into heaven. And there are a lot of people who are of the opinion that, well, it's how you interpret the Bible. And they'll say, well, you interpret the Bible this way, and others interpret it this way, but that is not the case, because the Lord Jesus Christ spoke very plainly. He said what he meant. He meant what he said. We can understand these things. Except in John 10 and 9, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the door. You see how he brought this? We're wondering about heaven and how do I get to heaven? And he brought this great spiritual question right down to a level that we can all understand that. We're all in here this morning because we came in through a door. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the door. Me. It's not through anything that you could ever do or accomplish. It's not any particular religion. I am the door. Very simple. And then he said, by me, if any person enter in by faith, I come and I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, you will be saved. I promise you, if you come to the door and enter in through the door. So I decide. May God bless you this morning. You decide. You'll decide this morning as to your response to this message, as to where you'll be in eternity. I'm either inside the door, or I'm outside the door. And like, there's no middle ground. And it's something I have to do. You have to do that. You have to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on him. trust Him as your Savior. Have a desire in your heart to be a new person. To be different than everybody in the world. The majority of the world, they don't have any room in their heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they really don't have a desire to be different. Actually, most are afraid to be different. They want to fit in with everybody. Well, the Lord Jesus didn't fit in, did He? He was despised and He was rejected. And if I want to be saved and in heaven, then I have to identify myself with Him. Not be ashamed. Oh, but be so pleased. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And so I'm pleased to tell you, yes, I am. I do seem different than you do. It's because I hear a voice you can't hear. The voice of my lovely Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the desire of my heart is to please Him. You know, I have a whole different agenda than you do in life. I want to please the Lord Jesus Christ, not in order to get to heaven. I'm not working my way there. I can't work my way there. But it's because He's already saved me. And I want to live my life for Him. That's the Christian life. Some people have the idea that it's like rule keeping. You know, and I'm looking at being saved, and I think, well, if I get saved, then there's a whole lot of rules there. You must do this, and you must do that, and now I'm not allowed to do these things anymore. No, I don't know if I could be happy. But that's not what salvation is. The little boy went into a store many years ago. In England, they were shillings. I guess they were like our pennies. And he went into the store and he said to the storekeeper, I want to buy my mother a present. And the storekeeper said, well, is it your mother's birthday? And he said, no, it's not her birthday. He said, well, what, is she sick? And he said, no. He said, then why do you want to buy your mother a present? He's just a little fellow, maybe 7 years old. He said, well, I just want to show my mother that I love her. Oh, he thought that was a wonderful thing. He said, I've got 3 shillings here. And he looked around the store, the man who owned the store, and he said, you know, there are a lot of things here that are very nice. You can buy for 1 shilling. You can buy your mother a nice present, and you can have 2 left over for yourself. And this is what he said. He said, no, I want to spend it all on her. And he spent it all on her. And that's what it's like to be a Christian. I want to. There's a desire in my heart. I'm not trying to keep rules and regulations. I love Him now. Now I understand what He's done for me. He saved me from my sins. He was on the cross, and He was there being punished for me. And I want to spend all on Him. I want to give Him every day of my life. And one day I know I'm going to be in heaven with Him. That's what it's like to be a Christian. And again, it's I decide. You know, the most important question, there's over 3,000 questions in the Bible. And the most important one was asked by Pilate. He was the one who was the judge, as you remember, when the Lord Jesus Christ was brought before him. And he said, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? That's the most important question in the Bible. It's one to ask yourself. What shall I do then with Him, with the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible's about Him. Life's about Him. This meeting this morning is about Him. And He stands right outside your heart's door. Did you know that this morning? He's standing right outside your heart's door. What does He want from you? He wants your life. That's what He wants. He wants you to turn your life over to Him. He wants your love, and he wants to love you. He can't bestow his love upon you unless you open up your heart's door, your life, and say, Lord Jesus, come in, and shut the door behind you. That's what he wants. What shall you do this morning with the Lord Jesus Christ? So I have to come on God's terms. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. And we're all the same. Some sin worse than others. And that's why we hear sirens and so on, and the police cars. And that's why there are jails and penitentiaries, because, you know, some sin worse than others. But God says, understand something. We're all the same. We all know that, don't we? We're sinners. And I have to understand that and come to God as a sinner, but having a desire not to sin anymore. I don't want to, Lord. I don't want to take your name in vain anymore, and I don't want to do things that I know aren't right. I want to be a new person. That's what the Bible calls repentance. It's turning. Those are God's terms. I turn with all my heart. And I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn. The word converted here, except ye be converted, that's exactly what it means. It's translated 17 other times in the New Testament as turn, to turn in your mind. Turn from my own way of thinking. You know, we have our own way of thinking. And God says, forsake your thoughts. We can't understand. How could we ever understand God? How could we ever understand him? He just spoke and everything that we see came into existence. It's a marvelous thing. How can we understand that? God came down and took upon him a body, like our body, and went to the cross, and he was God. And he was nailed to the cross, allowed himself to be nailed to a cross for our sins, mine. How could I ever understand? I can't understand that. God says, don't try and understand. Turn from your own way of thinking. God says in Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Just so we understand, he says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so we've got to change. We've got to turn and understand that from my own way of thinking. And you know, we're kind of programmed to think a certain way. And there is an enemy in the world. His name is Satan, the devil, the god of this world. And his business, what he wants, is for you not to get saved. That's the bottom line. He doesn't really care what you get into, just so long as you don't come to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on him. And we're kind of programmed growing up our own way of thinking. I remember a song when I was growing up. You know how you remember songs? You might read something and it sounds kind of silly, but when somebody puts it to music, and for some reason, you know, that gets in our minds, and we remember these songs. And I remember this song about a young man. Say he was driving his father's car, and he was with the girl that he loved, and there was a car accident, and she died. And he says this. Now this song was done a few years ago by a very popular band, Pearl Jam, Eddie Vedder, the singer. That kind of intrigued me. Here's this song again for another generation. But listen to what it says. Oh, where can my baby be? The Lord took her away from me. She's gone to heaven, so I've got to be good, so I can see my baby when I leave this world. So what is that really teaching me? What's the way to heaven? Well, I've got to be good. Well, we've already mentioned, God says there's none of us that are good enough for heaven. You see what's happening? It's like the enemy is sort of programming our minds. What's the way to heaven? Oh, I've got to be good. Well, nothing wrong with trying to be good, but that's not the way to heaven. God says none of us are good enough for heaven. And we've got to turn from our own way of thinking. Now, children don't really have thoughts on the subject. You know, their minds are wide open to learn. And that's what this teaching is about. This teaching is for older people. The Lord Jesus took a little child, now small enough that he could pick the child up. The Lord Jesus picked up a little child and set the child in the middle of all the adults. Now he says, here's a lesson for you. A lesson, just like I'm the door. Have a look at this little child. You've got to become like the little child if you ever want to get to heaven. That's an object lesson for us. Turn. Now, children don't really have thoughts on how to get to heaven. And turn from my way of thinking. And also, we have to turn from religious traditions. There's so many religions in the world. You know, steeples everywhere. It's so confusing. Like, who's right? You go in this place and the man says, we're right. You know, you follow all the things in our religion, you'll get to heaven. Then you go a block away and go into another place, an entirely different religion, and then you say, we're right, and we have the truth. And so it's very confusing. God says plainly in the Bible, he says this, howbeit or in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, not God's, but man's, laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men. Now I've got to turn from religious traditions. And I was 30 years old before I heard the gospel. And I was a very religious man up until that point. I thought religion was the way. And I was brought up in one great religion, and then I studied another religion, and I was going 6 mornings a week to church. And I thought that was the way. And I had to understand that I had to turn, not only from my own way of thinking, but from religious tradition as well. I saw a bumper sticker one time, and it said, question assumptions. Like we sort of assume things. And that's a good thing. We just assume. I just assumed that what the man was saying every Sunday was truth. I assumed that. I never opened my Bible up to see whether it was or not. And God says, question assumptions, like baby baptism. Some believe, well, that'll get me into heaven. A sacrament, church membership, be true to your church. Keep the golden rule and do your best and be sincere. We sort of assume this is the way. And God says, now you should question assumptions. So I turn. I turn from my own way of thinking. I turn from religious tradition. What am I going to turn to? If I turn from something, I've got to turn to something else. Well, I turn to the truth. There was a couple in France, very religious people, but he was getting older and she was getting older, and he's thinking, you know, we're going to die someday. I don't even know where I'm going. I hope I go to heaven, but I don't know if I am or not. And so he's reading his Bible in the kitchen. And as he's reading his Bible, he never really read the Bible before himself, he looked up at his wife one evening, and he said, dear wife, if this book is true, we're lost. We're lost in our sins. Now, he kept on reading, and then one evening, with a smile, he looked up at his wife, and he said, dear wife, if this book is true, and it is, we can be saved. And they were saved. To be saved means I'm sure of heaven, and I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. So I turn from my way of thinking, from tradition to the truth, and become as little children. Now, what was the lesson the Lord Jesus Christ was seeking to convey and teach these men? Well, first of all, children are teachable. A little child, teachable. Psalm 131, David said this. David knew a lot about the Word of God. And he said, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things that are too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child. Children are teachable. You know, we become less teachable the older we get because we think we know things. But it's wonderful. And it's wonderful to see so many children here this morning. Children are teachable. If God said it, then it must be true. And that's the attitude we as adults must also have. But the attitude, be teachable. Understand that this is God's word. I remember a vacuum cleaner salesman pulled into our driveway where I live one Saturday. And I started chatting with him in the driveway. I didn't want to let him get in the house and in case he talked my wife into buying a new vacuum cleaner. So I thought I'd head him off, and I chatted with him. And we get talking about, you know, the Bible, and he told me that he had kind of turned over a new leaf, as it were. He had been into, like, sin, things in his life that weren't right, and now he was seeking to live right and had a religion and so on. And there was a book upstairs in my study, and I wanted to give him the book to read. And the book explained clearly that's not the way to heaven, as we've already been thinking about this morning. It's through trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, if you could wait for just a minute, excuse me. And he said, no. No, he said, I wouldn't read it anyway. And he got in his car and drove away. And you know, my heart was sad. Because I thought, there's a man, he's not teachable. And if I'm not teachable, if my heart's not open, my mind isn't open to let God speak to me, I'm never going to be saved. Psalm 25, it says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. The meek will he teach his way. In Isaiah, it says, children shall be taught of the Lord. Children. And great shall be the peace of thy children. Excuse me. I was doing a lot of, one morning, excuse me, in a little place called Digby, Nova Scotia. I was doing a lot of this, blowing my nose. I was just outside the pharmacy. I had to go in and get something. Like, for sinusitis, my nose is running. I had a cold, and I was running to get out of the car. And every time I went to get out of the car, my nose was running, and blowing my nose, and chucking the Kleenex in the garbage can, and there was a man beside me. And he looked at me and smiled, and he said, looks like you've got yourself a bad cold there. And I said, yes, I think I do. I'm going to go in and get something there to help dry up my sinuses. And I said, oh, by the way, here's something for you to read. Now, it's just a little gospel tract, and it says four things God wants you to know. And he made a kind of a disgusted face, and he said, nah, I don't want that, and walked into the mall. And again, my heart was sad as I watched him walk away. There's a man who's not teachable. You know, what four things God wants you to know from the Bible? And you say, I'm not interested. You know, we have to leave someday, don't we? We have to leave our bodies. We're going out into eternity. Heaven and hell, where am I going? There's a man who doesn't really want to know. Now, there's a man named Tom Omerga, and he lived in Kenya. He's just a young man, around 19, and he had a job as an office clerk, and he's riding his bicycle home. And he saw a car go by, a car went by him up the hill, and there were two ladies, and they were missionaries at a school. And a piece of paper flew out the window of the car. he's riding along on his bicycle, and the car went up over the hill, and he stopped his bicycle, and he thought, I wonder what might be important, that piece of paper, and he picked it up, and you know what it was? It was another copy of this very same gospel tract. It's been around a long time. Four things God wants you to know. Now, here's the difference in these two men. Tom Omerga said, boy, this sounds important. So he went and he sat down on a rock beside the road. And he opens it up. Four things. It's so simple. You need to be saved. You cannot save yourself. Jesus can save you. Trust Jesus now. And you know he did. There are Bible verses in there. It isn't man's tradition or anything. It's just the word of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And he was saved right there. Now there are two men. One teachable and the other's not teachable. And I have to be teachable, dear loved one of God this morning. You have to be teachable if you're ever going to get to heaven and receive the word of God like a little child. What else about little children? Well, they're tender, aren't they? Their hearts are tender. Genesis 33 and 13. The children are tender. Impressionable. 2 Chronicles 13, 7. When Rehoboam was young and tender-hearted. 2 Kings 22, 19. A man named Josiah. Thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord. And I have to be of a tender heart. And sometimes what happens is people put off getting saved. And sometimes when they're young, the gospel moves them, even to tears sometimes. I've seen this. And God has spoken to them. And they've really been thinking about these things. You know, how much Jesus loves me, and died for me, and calling me. And you know what happened? They kept putting off. You know, the devil doesn't say there's no heaven or there's no hell. He says there's no hurry. See how he works? Isn't he awful? Isn't that terrible? Because there is a hurry. Because I don't know when I'm going to die. So there is something to hurry about. Well, I've seen these young, same people just be in the world, and then their hearts get hard. They weren't tender anymore. And they could sit in a gospel meeting, and they wouldn't even, they'd be thinking about something else. You know, that their hearts weren't tender. What happened? Their hearts became hard. And God says, now you have to become like this little child. You'll be teachable and have a tender heart. And when God speaks, oh, let him speak to your heart. Tender. And just finally, in closing, the last point, is children are trusting, aren't they? Children are trusting. And I have to be trusting if I'm ever going to be saved. I've got to trust God. Many have their trust in scientists. Imagine. We say there is no God. Who are these men? They were just like you little children here this morning. And they went and got, you know, they're smart men, and they got a degree, and they went on to study science, and all of a sudden they come up with, hey, there is no God. And many have their trust in a scientist. Can you imagine? Not God in the Bible. I have to be trusting and trust what God says. Children will believe a promise and they'll act on it. And how am I saved? Acts 16:31, it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Well, do you think you could believe that this morning? What does the word believe mean? Trust, rely upon, a fully convinced acknowledgement, fully assured, unswerving confidence to have faith in. If God says I'm saved because I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then what does that make me? It makes me saved. I trust, I believe God. It shall be even as it was told me. And that's all you have to do to be saved. Isn't it marvelous? Just turn in your heart this morning from your sin to Him and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And just in closing, years ago in Glasgow, Scotland, there was a preacher by the name of Whittle, last name of Whittle, and he was preaching the simple gospel, and a woman came up to him after the meeting, and her heart was tender, and she was teachable, and she was crying. And she said, "Mr. Whittle, I want to be saved." So he sat down with her, and he opened up his Bible, so many lovely verses. He read to her from John's Gospel 5:24. And it says, "Truly, truly, I, God, I say unto you, he that heareth my word," as you've been hearing this morning, "and believeth," there's that key word, "I believe, I trust, on him that sent me, hath," right now, like I have this gospel tract in my hand, "I have everlasting life when I believe. And this is what it says, and shall not come into condemnation." You'll never be judged for your sins. Never. You'll never see the terrible place the Bible calls hell, but is past. It's already happened from death unto life. She was teachable. She believed what God said. And she had tears, not of sorrow now, but of joy, and she wept. "Mr. Whittle, thank you for showing me the way. I'm saved. I'm sure of heaven." And she left rejoicing with a little boy. He's 8 years old. Mr. Whittle wrote the verse out on a card for her, a special verse, and he signed the back of it. And then she went home, and boy, she went to bed, and she was so happy. And the son, he never saw his mother happy in so long. He was happy. Boy, look how happy Monty is. The next morning, there she came downstairs and she wasn't happy. She looked sad. He said, "Mommy, what's wrong?" And she said, "Well," she started crying, sorrow again. She said, "It's all gone. I thought I was saved, but I feel just as bad as ever." The little boy said, "Mommy, has the verse changed?" "Just a minute." Ran to the living room, got the verse off the table. And he said, "Listen, Mommy. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." He said, "Mommy, the verse hasn't changed." Oh, and she saw the great mistake she made. It's not feelings. It's faith in what God said. Now the tears turned to tears of joy again. And she thanked her little one for helping her understand. May God bless you. It's not feelings. You know, like Martin Luther wrote, "Feelings come and feelings go and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God, not else is worth believing." If God says I'm saved because I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then I am saved. May God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the gospel, its simplicity, and its power. And Father, we pray that if there are any here this morning, and they're not dying, we know time's running out, Father. We know that soon the door is going to be closed. Oh God, bless Thy word. Bless Thy word this morning and save precious souls for His honor and glory. In His name we pray, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
At this time, we'll just close in a
And it's song number 304 to 1. As we heard the message this morning, the gospel message. Let's sing number 304 to 1. And then we'll also close and thank God, bless God for the food that's prepared downstairs. And then we can assemble downstairs to eat thereafter.
Once again, the gospel message from the Savior you have heard. Will you heed His invitation? Will you turn unto the Lord? Come believing, come believing.